Welcome to TJ Frog's podcast, where I chat about my knitting, Dorset buttons, and creativity in general, as well as sharing my love of Scotland, especially the Highlands and Islands. Hello, I'm Tanya, aka TJ Frog, or sometimes called the Button Lady, and in my creative business, I predominantly make and promote the traditional craft of Dorset buttons, which dates back to the early 1600s, a cottage industry that employed many people in Dorset on the south coast of England. Brought up in Dorset, I now live on the Isle of Skye, and wherever you may be in the world, welcome and thank you for joining me for my 17th episode, A Creative Soul. Where did September go to? It passed me by in a flash. Time seems to be running away with me at this part of the year, and I have so much that I want to say on the podcast and so much I want to do in my business. For this episode then, what did happen in September? Since I last spoke to you on my August roundup, I have done a Gansey course with Yasmin at the Island at the Edge here on Skye. I went to Uist in the Outer Hebrides for the North Atlantic Native Sheep Conference, and I've also been to Shetland Wool Week as well. Quite a lot really, and that is pretty much where September went to. So for this episode, I've decided not to focus too much on what I've been up to in September. I'm actually going to save that for episode 18. For this episode, I will be covering the weather. And while we have lots of autumnal colours, winter conditions have arrived early with the wind and the rain, making themselves known just a little bit too much for my liking. Making, I will briefly touch on the projects that I was working on for Shetland Wool Week, and Dorset Buttons, just a little reminder of what's coming up. The local lowdown, I touch on a couple of food and drink places, and the Skye Showcase. I've got a fantastic interview for you with Jo here on Skye, and it's a lengthy interview, so I really wanted this to be the focus of the episode, hence why I'm going to leave my September stuff for the next episode. In this interview, we're going to hear about Jo's journey to Skye, also going to explore her creativity, which is in abundance, hence the name of this episode, A Creative Soul. And we're also going to hear about her businesses as well. The weather. All the autumnal colours we associate with this time of year are out, except for the weather conditions, in my opinion, have been a little harsh. The first snow made its appearance, albeit very briefly, on the Knoydart Mountains that we can see from Skye. We've just had rain and wind in abundance. We were expected last week to have 80 mile an hour gusts, which were part of Storm Callum that hit parts of the UK. Fortunately for us, it was downgraded and we had quite a lot of gusts in the sort of high 50s where we are in our particular part of Skye, but I do know that they were higher elsewhere. Apart from that fleeting appearance of snow though, the temperatures have remained mild. So although it's been dank and wet and windy, it's not really been that cold. One of the best things is, though, we've got brown bracken. You know what that means? The bracken has died. Brown bracken. Love it. It means I can see everything else now. I can see the road properly. I can see the other vegetation properly. And yes, we might have had some dismal, dank days, but there are some benefits. And actually, having said that, we've been rewarded with some spectacular skies, particularly early morning and in the evening. The Northern Lights were out one night, which sadly I didn't see, although I have seen some great photos of them. I am a little nervous for the winter ahead, especially with the arrival of this gusty weather so soon into autumn, because it's been quite sustained as well, and that's the bit that I don't like. You can put up with the odd little bit of wind here and there, but when it keeps happening and it's sustained, that's what makes me nervous. Let's hope that it does die off and we don't get too much of that throughout the winter. The rain as well has been causing quite a lot of damage to both roads and properties. A lot of flooding and landslides in and around Skye. And the old road to Portree, if any of you know that, that's actually been closed due to a landslide. Let's wait and see what winter weather brings to us here on Skye, and I will keep you posted. Making. My Belmont cardigan I was working on last time I spoke to you, it didn't get finished in time for Shetland Wool Week, which is probably no surprise. And there was me thinking I could just knit up a hat as well. I'm not quite sure what I was thinking about, but hey, I decided that it's better to aim big and hope, live in hope. At least one good thing is that I've actually got that Shetland wool that I bought 2 years ago onto the needles. It's no longer abandoned, sat in a box somewhere. I've talked on and off about my dislike of blocking. I really had to smile when I got a message from Faye offering to block my shawls if I sent them to her. I thought this was quite an amazing offer, a particularly dangerous offer. That part of me just wants to take up. I just want to wrap them all up in a parcel and send them off to her. But I think it's actually shamed me into getting on and doing them myself. And also one of my friends wrote to me as well telling me that I just need to get on and do my blocking. So I've had some encouragement. I've decided it's not going to happen this month or next month though. So maybe later in November when all my outings away from home with TJ Frog sort of die off a little bit more. So on to Dorset Buttons and what's happening there. I'm just back from delivering a couple of workshops down in Plymouth for wool palettes, which were very well received. And I also spent some time in Dorset doing some more research for my forthcoming book. And I'm getting particularly excited about that, how that is coming together. I am now in the throes of getting ready for the marketplace at Loch Ness Knitfest, which is on the 20th and 21st of October. And that's going to be very quickly followed by Yarnporium in London, which is on the 2nd and 3rd of November. So there's lots of preparations going on at the moment, as you can probably imagine. If you're coming to Loch Ness Knitfest, I'm running two Dorset Button workshops, which are actually on for Friday the 19th of October. Still a couple of places up for grabs, so if you are interested, then have a look on the show notes and also on my website as well. Finally, for this section, many thanks to everyone who's joined and contributed in the Ravelry group so far. It's been great to see people in there. And thank you to Nora, who has been showing us her Dorset buttons on her projects. And I'd love to see more of that from all of you. If you think you'd like to join the group chatting about Dorset buttons, what your current makes are, and any projects you've made in TJ Frog Wool or any Dorset buttons that you've made and you want to add them into our gallery, then I'd love to see you in there. On to the Skye Focus then, starting with the local lowdown. And I've just got a little mishmash here of a couple of thoughts that came into my mind of places just to signpost you to. Firstly, I have to mention gin, of course. Because the Misty Isle Gin from the Isle of Skye Distillers recently won a gold award for the Distilled Gin of the Year, which was at the Scottish Gin Awards. So a great bit of news for the two brothers who run this company, which is Alistair and Thomas. And I see that they've brought out a mulled gin too, where I read that the botanics have all been soaked in an Italian red wine before distilling. So I might have to give that one a try sometime. And if you're a food lover, you might be interested to know that the Loch Bay Seafood Restaurant up at Waternish on the northwest part of Skye has just retained their Michelin star. And it's the only restaurant on Skye to have one. The chef is Michael Smith, who you may have seen from time to time on Great British Menu. And if you come to Skye and you're looking for a bit of luxury, then nearer to us here on Slate is Kinloch Lodge, and they have just been awarded Luxury Hotel of the Year by the Good Hotel Guide. I've never stayed there, although we've had a couple of meals there, and certainly the restaurant food is delicious. My understanding is that this particular award for them is independent based on recommendations from readers of the guide, so ultimately from people who have stayed with them. So that must be very rewarding. Finally, somewhere else to draw your attention to as you come to and from Skye. Just outside of Kyle, approximately 3 miles on the A87, is a place called Balnakara, which you drive through. But just off the main road is Balnakara Square, which is signposted, and it's a tiny little way off. And there you will find Beth's coffee shop. I've been there from time to time for lunch or a cuppa or slice of cake. And Beth has now set up a deli next door with lots of local and Scottish produce as well. It's not quite on Skye, but for us up here, I still class that as local. And it might be somewhere for you to pop into if you're on your journeys to and from Skye. Lastly, today's interview, the Skye Showcase. And as I mentioned, this episode really is all about the interview, because I really don't want to have the episodes too long, even though sometimes they're a little bit longer than I hope for. A creative soul. We hear from Jo. We hear from Jo about her and her family changed their lives through travelling, which led them to be here on Skye. Jo talks about slowing down the pace of life, her creative life, and how she's applied her creative skills as part of her travelling. Jo tells us about some of the challenges that they encountered along the way, settling down on Skye and continuing to develop her creative skills here on Skye. Throughout this, there's a thread where Jo tells us about learning about herself along the way and about being authentic, our vulnerability. And it's really quite a powerful interview, I think. And you will also get to hear as well at the end about her meditation and coaching practices too. I hope that you will find this a fascinating story. Hi, Jo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you for agreeing to be here talking to me today. Let's start off then at the beginning in terms of you coming to Skye. And just to let the listeners know, Jo arrived on Skye via a library bus. So Jo, tell us about that journey getting here.
So it wasn't a journey to Skye so much, because we didn't know we were going to arrive on Skye. When would it be? September 2014, we set off in a library bus. So it was a library bus that we'd converted into home, so it was no longer full of books, but had beds instead, and kitchen and bathroom and all of that stuff. And we were living in Yorkshire at the time, and we decided to take some time out to homeschool the kids and to travel in our own country, because we'd spent time in Australia and Asia, we travelled a bit in New Zealand, but we'd never travelled in our own country. So we set off around the coast of the UK, and our plan was to circumnavigate. Can you say that when you're on land, or is that only on a boat? So we set off from North Yorkshire, so Saltburn, near Whitby, and drove down the east coast, along the south, up the west. We spent the whole of the summer up the west coast of Scotland and absolutely loved it.
And how old were your children at the time?
So I think when we set off, Oscar was 4, and Annie was 8. She'd just gone 8. So he was 4.5 and she was 8. And actually what we'd done, we'd travelled a little bit in New Zealand before Annie started school. So we'd had this big trip before she started school and spent some time together as a family. And we spent a month in New Zealand in a camper van. And so this was like Oscar's big trip before he started school. And it started being, let's go travelling in the summer holidays. Yeah. And it ended up being, let's go for a year. Well, when I say ended up, it turned into that. And 4 years later, we still live in the bus. So it's not kind of ended up anywhere yet, I guess. But so we spent 15 months travelling around the coast, which was fab. We had some great fun. And some challenges, and just got to spend really good family time together, worked much less, outgoings were much lower, met up with some fantastic people around the coast. And we arrived on Skye, we first arrived on Skye in September, because it was Annie's birthday, And I remember coming by ferry on the 10th of September and going to the beach, and it was beautiful weather, and I actually fell asleep on the sand on the beach on Skye.
We do have sunny days here sometimes, and warm sunny days too.
But we didn't stay at that point. We then went off to the Outer Hebrides and travelled right up through the islands, and then came back again. Just were drawn back to Skye. Actually, the kids wanted to go to school. Annie particularly wanted to go to school, wanted her community.
Right.
My husband James had an opportunity to get involved with the project, so he's a joiner. And that we had met somebody who were setting up a glamping site of yurts. So we had an opportunity to go and stay there. So, yeah, so we stopped. It wasn't a plan to come and live here, but it wasn't our plan. Maybe it was the universe's plan.
So going back to your original, we're going to circumnavigate the whole of the UK. Did you actually, the bits you've still yet to do?
Yes. Yeah, so we got here. We've actually, in the bus, we went as far up as Ullapool.
Right.
Then in the October holidays last year when the kids were off, we took James's work van, which has also got a bed in the back of it. That's like, we live in a bus, but we've also got a camper. And we did the North Coast 500. So okay. We travel around the north of Scotland. But there are still pieces we still need to do. So we haven't been south of Inverness on that coast yet.
Right, okay, yeah.
Although next weekend we're off to stay in Pittenweem.
Yes, you know where Fife, that is? Yes.
Yeah, yes. So we'll probably do a stretch of that coast next weekend.
Yeah.
It would be nice to finish it off at some time. But actually, we were glad that we didn't take the bus right up north because it doesn't like hills.
Well, it's quite a long bus, isn't it?
It's a big bus, yeah. So it's 28 foot long. And obviously, because it's home, it's also quite heavy, so it's 7.5 ton. Hopefully we haven't gone over 7.5 ton, but it's pretty heavy. So we had problems with it right from the first day going up hills. Yeah.
And some of the Scottish hills and roads probably cause a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, indeed. And Wales. And just that first night, we drove from Saltburn to Whitby. Or do we just Saltburn to Robin Hood's Bay? Anyway, it was really hilly and we ended up getting the RAC out that first night. So we hadn't really tested this vehicle that we were going to live in and drive in for a year. And it beeps, basically. It's overheating. And right. We just have to pull over and let it cool down. So it's our air-cooled library. So we've done that a lot as we've travelled around, and we would like drive up a big hill and find a lay-by and pull over and make a cup of tea, let it cool down. And if it really needed to cool down, we might bake a cake too.
Oh, you're just so so good, yeah. I like that the bus tells you when it's had enough. It's like,
yeah, it made us go slow. It made life slow. Yes. You know, that time travelling around really slowed us down. We didn't have cars. We just had the bus and bikes. So things like, you know, going shopping, we'd go off on the bikes, or taking the kids to the library. You know, we'd walk more places, and the bus obviously is slower, and yeah, it just slowed life right down. Yeah. And when you're not racing about 9 to 5, that kind of does slow life down sometimes too.
And also parking something of that size as well, you know, it's finding somewhere, isn't it, where you can park it too. And a lot of places, maybe smaller supermarkets or little local shops and villages and things, there aren't places for you to do that. So you need the bikes, or as you say, just walking on foot to get to places.
Yeah, we had to park out of town. So they were really the challenges, were the logistics of it. So things like, I remember we were on the south coast of England. So we'd planned to be there in the winter. We thought it might be warmer. We thought there's more likelihood of campsites being open in the winter. And it was really challenging. It was freezing. We had 3 nights at -8 in that winter. And we were in Somerset and we couldn't find anywhere to buy dry wood, because we've got a wood burner in it. That's our only heating. And all the wood at the garage forecourts were, you know, they were wet. So that wasn't really working. The even the petrol stations were small and they had low canopies. Yes. We couldn't fit under them.
Of course.
The campsites weren't weren't open, so we weren't able to empty waste, fill up with water. Yeah, and the fact that it was cold and it was darker. It's half three every night, or whenever it is, it goes dark on the south coast. And so just driving around and doing life in the bus felt really difficult.
Didn't put you off though, you kept going.
Yeah, we made it easier. So at that point we then went and had a week at Centre Parks.
It was a nice little treat.
Yeah, we went to Longleat and had a week there. And then we got a message from, so our intention was to go to Devon and Cornwall in January, and we got a message from someone we'd stayed with in Suffolk. It was like bit of synchronicity, maybe. You know, in the midst of this struggle, this message came through saying, I've got a couple of months' work for you if you want to come back. And we'd stayed with her for a week or maybe two on the way down. And so we chose then to drive back. It took us two full days to get across country from, I think we went from Bath, Bristol, right the way over to, Suffolk. And we stayed with her for 2 months.
Right.
So we kind of bedded down for the winter. We had a wood store.
So you were still in the bus, but staying on still her in the bus. Land. Yeah.
And she had a really nice holiday cottage. So if she had any vacancy, she let us go and stay in it as well, which was a nice treat.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, the library bus that brought us to Skye. And as I said, we're still in it. So it's this month, it's 4 years since we moved into it. And obviously, we've totally outgrown it. The kids are 4 years older.
Yes.
This summer, we actually made an extension to it.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I've seen the pictures of it. It looks amazing.
We put a pod on the roof for Annie. So she's got her bedroom. But we've modified it, you know, as we've gone along. It's had lots of different updates, mainly putting in extra storage. As the kids have got more stuff.
Yes.
You know, they start school, they have uniform, then they start playing fiddle and shinty, and that all needs storing somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But James, as I said, is a joiner and incredibly talented. You know, he just does all these things and makes it work for us.
Well, I've not actually... Well, I've physically seen the bus from the outside, and I've seen photos of the bus, but I haven't been in the bus. And I was supposed to be in the bus today, but that hasn't worked out. So hopefully at some point I'm going to persuade Joe to invite me to look in the bus. And maybe we might have a photo of the pod or something. Yay. That we might talk about a little bit later in the interview that you did in the bus. So you're here now and you really are settling down, and this is where you're staying, isn't it? It feels right for you.
Yeah, we did. So when we first arrived, when was it then? September, and then we went off. Okay, so November, really, we would say we were on Skye from November, other than going back to visit family at Christmas. And we said, okay, let's do it. Let's try it for a winter and see if we can handle it. You know, the weather and all of that. Okay, so we did that first winter, and then we said, it got to, you know, Easter, and it was like, okay, let's try a summer, see if we can handle the summer, because Skye's two different places, isn't it, in the winter and the summer.
Yeah,
so it's much busier in the summer. Everybody here is busy in the summer, it seems, and people have got money but they don't have any time in the summer, and then in the winter it's the opposite. Nobody's got any money but they've got time. And there's actually much more community in the winter, it feels, and people go to different clubs and all of that. You see each other more in the winter, and obviously we've got the midges in summer, so we can handle the business and the midges.
I've got midges where I live.
You haven't? No. It's because it's too windy.
Too windy.
so we thought we never really kind of commit to anything very long term, you know. So it was just, well, we'll just see if we can do a summer, and then see if we can do a winter, and then see if we can do a summer. But it feels like this is where we're supposed to be. I still laugh that it's, you know, it feels so far away. When we lived in Lancashire, I couldn't live more than 5 miles away from a motorway exit. I like needed to be able to get on that network. And then here, what are we here? 6 hours away?
Yeah, but we have a bridge.
Well, that's true. I really, really loved our time out on the Outer Hebrides. but felt like that was just too far.
I agree with you. I've been to Harris and Lewis, and they're just beautiful, and I would love to explore the Outer Hebrides even more. But that ferry journey, it is just a step too far for me as well. I think knowing that we do have a bridge, if we want to get off, then yeah, it's kind of in the back of the mind. You still got that connection.
Yeah, and it feels like, so whilst we travelled and since I've been on Sky, I've kept work in England. So I've been travelling once a month to go and run a course. And there are actually lots of different ways to get south from here.
Yes.
So we can drive to Inverness and fly down, or we can get the ferry to Malaga and then get the train, or get the train from Kyle to Inverness. Yeah. You know, there's just lots of
bus
different
to Glasgow
ways.
And,
sleeper yeah. train from Inverness. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even the bus goes a couple of times a day, doesn't it, from the island. So, yeah. So it felt like I might be able to manage. It's sometimes a logistical challenge, especially if the weather's bad, but it's manageable.
Yeah, it's doable, isn't it? Yeah. And I think, like everywhere, the world's becoming a smaller place. There are more options open to us now that never used to be. And even going back 5 years ago, there's a lot more transport options than before.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, Jared and I met... We think we met at U Time, which is run by the Hand Spinner Having Fun here by Bev in Broadford. And it's an afternoon where you just go along and take your knitting or your fibre related craft generally and just sit and have a chat. And so that's where I met Jo. So we sort of share a creative love. And through that, we also found out that we shared a background in sort of learning development, personal development, business development and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So a few discussions around that as well. But Jo is extremely talented. She's pulling a face at me now.
You can't see that on the podcast.
Well, I'm saying this because she probably won't. But yeah, Jo's very talented and has lots of, what's the word, strings to her bow. Is that the correct analogy? Yes. And Jo can knit, she can crochet, she can felt, she can use a sewing machine. Now, I've talked to you on the podcast before about the sewing machine. And I'm impressed that Jo can use a sewing machine. Anyone that can use a sewing machine, I'm impressed with. Painting, drawing, printing. As I say, lots of creative skills that Jo has. And I've seen many of them. The ones, again, that I've only seen on the pictures are the ones in the bus. And just having talked about the bus, there's an awful lot of love and energy and creative style that went into the interior of that bus, isn't there? I know you talked about James and being a joiner and what he could do.
Yeah.
But what about everything that you did yourself or you did together to make that a home?
Yeah, so we knew we wanted to travel around the coast, so we had a bit of a beach hut theme, I guess, for the bus when we renovated it. And actually, when we were talking about travelling and buying a vehicle, I just wanted to buy a camper van because I thought it was easier.
Yeah.
And James wanted to build something from nothing, like to buy a chassis and build something that we could travel in. And so we kind of compromised, I guess, and we bought a shell. So it was a library bus that was being used as a mobile computer shop at the time.
Okay.
And we bought it on eBay.
Right.
And then, we designed it together, I guess. There was a lot of conversations about how we would fit everything in. So we've got, you know, our bedroom space, the kids' bedroom space. We've got a bathroom, we've got a kitchen, a lounge, a dining table. And to fit all of that into such a tiny space. So in metric terms, it's about 9 meters by 2.5 perhaps. So it's really not a big space at all. So it felt like a lot of the design input was about getting creative with the space.
Right, yeah.
And it has a lot of windows in it. So also there was how to make best use of the window.
Yeah.
So we wanted a window at our kitchen sink and we wanted the best windows in the lounge, And then we wanted to make sure we had a full window in the bathroom that we could open. Yeah,
yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of things to think about in terms of that. But the bus itself, everything was, we did it really cheaply. It was all kind of recycled, reused materials. I bought some fabric actually, but it was a really good price to cover the seats at the back. So I did the, when I say upholstery, it was staple gun upholstery. It's nothing fancy.
I've still never done that. So.
I made the curtains at the windows.
Sewing machine there, note.
Yeah. So the sewing machines travel around with us in the bus. It's been in the bus for 4 years. So you kind of go, what do we really need to have with us? And apparently I need a sewing machine. I bet I only use it once a year. But anyway, it's in there. Along with the Christmas decorations that obviously are essential too. We wanted it to be really fun for the kids too. So instead of having a ladder to get in and out of their bunk beds, they had a fireman's pole.
Oh.
So, and they decided they weren't bothered about a ladder to get up. They'd just kind of clamber up there and then they'd slide down out of bed. So they had that. And then in the bathroom, we didn't want to tile it. And obviously weight's a consideration as well.
Of course, yeah. Tiles were,
yeah. So we decided to just put Perspex on the walls to tank the whole bathroom and then put Perspex on the walls so we could put anything behind the Perspex. So we went for Marvel comics because Oscar was really into, is it Spider-Man or Batman? Spider-Man. You know, when it's been there that long, you just look past it. There's Marvel comics all on the walls.
That added lots of colour as well, didn't it? I seem to remember the picture. It's very colourful.
Yeah, and bright. And then things like the kitchen worktop was actually some old gym flooring that we bought off eBay and put that in. So that's quite funky. All the doors of the cupboards were kind of thirds of house doors,
right,
that were cut down and painted up. The dining table is a door with a piece of Perspex on it, so everything just got reused and recycled, and it really felt like we've made the best use of the space. There's so much storage space in it. You know, if we go and stay in a two-bedroom house for a week, it feels like there's nowhere to put anything.
Okay.
Because we've just got cupboards everywhere to store everything we need. So James and I both run businesses from it too. So we've got all our work paperwork, we've got a printer in there.
It's just remarkable what you've done. I think it's really inspirational because it shows people what you can do if you put your mind to it, both in terms of living in that space, recycling materials, and as you say, just taking a leap of faith and doing something different as well.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, Lego.
Lego. Oh, yeah. We had in the bathroom. So Oscar's, he's not so much now. He's into football cards at the moment, but he was totally obsessed with Lego for years. And we made a splashback around the sink in the bathroom with a little container thing to put the toothbrushes in too, out of Lego. Yeah. And we bought him some tape recently. It was something I saw on a crowdfunding website, and it's Lego tape, and so it adheres. So he's like got bits of it stuck on the bus, and he can build outwards, and you know, put it under his bed and build all sorts of creations. Yeah,
that's just excellent.
It's been a creative space actually to be in, a fun space, because it's, I don't know if it's just not so, oh, you can't do that. You know, it's like sticking things on walls. You wouldn't do it in a house, but I don't know, when it's a bus and it's, I don't know, it's been fun space to be in. It has limited me creatively though, because of the space.
True, yeah. You, in terms of working space to do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also shows how, as you're saying, the space has evolved as you've, all of you've grown older and, you know, maybe work's changed and the children's schooling and has changed, and you've had to, as you say, find more space and change with that. It's probably constantly making you think creatively, even if you haven't always been able to do all the different creative things you'd like to do, because I know that you do so much for you personally as well, stretching yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I think definitely it has made us think creatively, and it's also made us review regularly. How life's going, what needs to be different. Which we did, I guess, when we stepped off the norm of life, you know, and went off travelling. Things like homeschool, you know, we didn't have a plan. We didn't sit down and teach the kids, this is what we're going to do today. And it wasn't structured at all. In fact, Oscar taught himself to read in that year of travelling around, 15 months, just on apps, because that's how he liked to learn. So he taught himself all his phonics and to read and things. But what we would regularly do is kind of stop and go, how's it going? How's it working out? What else might we need? And so there were areas of the country, for example, where getting an internet connection was a real struggle. So we talked to the kids about what might be fun to learn at the moment and how else might we do it. And we bought, Oscar learns loads from watching things. You know, it's kind of like, oh, don't let him watch telly. But he learns so much from that. So we bought all the horrible history DVDs, and they had a phase where they just watched those all the time. And then they do things like enter the Radio 2 500 word competition, and I don't know, go to museums. Yes. Spend a lot of time in libraries and things like that. So that idea of keep reviewing and going, what's going on? Do we need to change something? And that's what's enabled us to keep adapting the bus. Like, one of the most recent additions is a pull-out desk for Annie. Now she's getting more homework at high school, because she's just come to high school this time. Aww. So she's got a little, it's like a shelving unit, but one of the shelves has an extra shelf under it that pulls out, and she can sit down and do her homework on it.
And is that in her pod?
No, it's not in the pod. No, the pod's not big enough. The pod's a decent size, but it's got no floor in it, because it was the skylight of the bus, so we took that out. So she can climb up into it, but it means there's not much floor space up there.
And it sounds to me, and correct me if you think differently, that probably, again, some of your background in that sort of learning development has helped there with that reviewing process. Because maybe some other families might not, there might be a lot more sort of fractions before they realise that, let's talk about this, do you know what I mean? Whereas you've got that built in you, haven't you, in terms of let's just sit back and review where we're at and see what's working and what's not and what we can do differently and what we can do better.
I'm laughing because James and I were having a conversation last night, and I asked him something, and he went, do you think that's a coaching question? I said, I am a coach. I went, it's what I do and who I am. I think I facilitate, but also I think James facilitates too, lots of conversations in the family about that, about what's working, what's not, about what we're learning. I remember there was quite an experience when we were traveling. We were in Kent, and we'd stayed at this National Trust property, and it was kind of an idyllic week or two with them. The kids ran around the garden. It was somebody who'd contacted me because she'd seen my meditation website and said, when you're traveling, feel free to come and stay with us. And so we had this amazing connection with these people that we didn't know before. And it was wonderful. And I sat in on her meditation sessions and had some great conversations. And we left there with a great big pile of washing that we hadn't done for the week. So that's one of the challenges of travelling, is laundry. And we drove into Gravesend to find a laundrette and to do the laundry. And we found ourselves in this area that felt very different to staying on this National Trust property. And we went into the laundrette, and the kids spotted a park and ran off to the park. And James and I carried the washing into the laundrette. I was shoving it all in the washing machine. And I said to him, what are the kids doing? And he said, oh, they've gone off to play on the park. And there was a woman in the laundrette said, not that park, is it? And he said, yeah. And she went, oh, I wouldn't let them play on there. There might be needles. And we went from this, you know, one extreme to the other, it felt. And they hadn't got any experience of that at all. No. So we kind of shouted them off the park, and then had this whole conversation in the bus about, you know, this is reality here. Yes. And And yeah, it was really challenging, and challenging to get them to go there and have that conversation. I noticed Annie really didn't want to. But just comparing and contrasting different things that we were seeing as we were going and talking about how that's life for some people.
Yes.
And then this is life for other people.
Yes.
And we're getting to experience all of
yes.
that and, you know, learn from that and grow from that.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is a great education, isn't it? Because sometimes we can just be in our own bubble all the time that we're growing up and not actually realise that, as you say, different people in different places, even just down the road, live differently. Just we're all different, and it's good to have that knowledge and information and meet people from different backgrounds and different walks of life.
It was it's just one of the things I really remember about sitting and having a conversation around. And yeah, but we had several of those as we travelled. Some of them didn't scare the kids quite as much as that one. Others were like, just let's buy some horrible histories DVD.
So we were looking at you being creative then and having put lots of creativeness into the bus. Since you've been here on Sky, you've now been developing your own creative skills, haven't you? So I met you at U Time and you've got knitting again.
So I think really early on being here, I'd gone into the Handspin Having Fun shop and been I love colour, so I'd kind of stood in there and gone, whoa, all the different colour yarns, and wanted to buy some, but I don't think I'd knit anything since the age of 10 or something. And I used to knit and crochet when I was quite young. So I bought this wool, you know, and decided I'd knit something, but I couldn't really knit anything. You know, I just used to make it up when I was a kid. Probably more with crochet than knitting, because you can do that a bit more, can't you? I can remember making my doll's clothes. But then, so I knit a scarf. It really wasn't very exciting. But I just
loved.
And so I started going to Hand Spinner. And met a new group of people, which was really, really important to me when I first got here, that a sense of community. And it's on Thursday afternoon, so it was somewhere where if I didn't see anyone else all week and I was kind of spent a lot of time on my own, I wasn't connected here with work. I was still working in England, and it felt like a real lifeline, especially through the winter, to be able to go there and meet up with people. So yeah, so knitting, and then I did a bit of crochet, I think. Maybe I crocheted a scarf as well, I don't know. It really wasn't that exciting. So I'm a bit of a jack of all trades, master of none. I like to play about with things, but I'm by no means expert in anything. So I did a bit of crochet. Then I did a knitting workshop, a sock workshop with Jam. At Christmas a couple of years ago, so she was running workshops at Hand Spinner, and just got into knitting socks and knitted about 7 pairs of socks. Got quite into those. Yeah, maybe this time last year or a little bit earlier, I got talking to someone who runs an art course locally. So she runs it at the college, Susan McInnes, and just was asking her about what this course was that she ran and didn't know anything about it. And it turned out it was a part-time course. It was just one day a week. And I went to the art exhibition, which was in June. Yeah, it was earlier than this. I went to the art exhibition in June and really enjoyed looking at what the students of that year had created. And there was something that one of them, Pamela, said to me about it had helped her to see the world through different eyes.
Right.
And I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
That new perspective that she'd got on things through really studying things to be able to draw them or to create art from them. And so I did it. So I did the art course this time last year, started this time last year, and we did an expressive drawing module and a printmaking module. And I found it incredibly painful, actually. I only enjoyed it right at the end.
At least you're honest.
I was like, I really struggled with, I felt like I couldn't draw, I didn't get tone, I certainly couldn't introduce colour into anything. I felt like everyone else could do it and I couldn't. I had a lot of that going on, a lot of imposter syndrome. I was really excited, like being an art student, but I felt like, oh, I've not done enough of it before.
Right.
I had to give up art at school to do Latin at the age of 13, and I'd never really done it since. So it felt like really, you know, going back to something. So I was keen to do it and found it really difficult and gave myself a real hard time.
So what was it that sort of made it more pleasurable towards the end?
A realisation, actually, that is the creative process.
Interesting.
And my topic that I chose was cracks and themes.
Yes, yeah.
And it was totally about my cracks and...
Lines, isn't it?
I just said themes again, didn't I? Cracks and edges.
Edges, that was it, yeah.
And it was totally about me cracking and going to the edge of my comfort zone.
Right. So double meanings, really.
So I was having a conversation with a friend about how difficult I'd found it and all the imposter syndrome and how I felt like everyone else could do it and I couldn't do it, and just about the pain of it. And she went, and that's the creative process. And I kind of went, oh, it is. And it's that in order to, it's like the seed, in order to grow, it has to crack.
Yeah,
so I think it was the learning. I learned a lot about myself and I learned some stuff about art too. But I think it was really about my journey and my own growth.
Yes.
But I got into printmaking. I really enjoyed that. So I did some monoprinting and some colograph printing, right, which I really enjoyed as well. Yeah, and actually I'm going to go to a life drawing class tonight.
Are you?
Not a class, more of a club, just turn up and draw. So I think it's given me confidence to go and do some other things.
Yes.
And there's one that runs locally every second week. And I went just at the beginning of the summer and absolutely loved it.
Excellent.
So, So I found something that I do love to draw.
Yeah.
I think maybe there was something about the topic I was drawing I wasn't very inspired by.
Maybe you really set yourself a hard challenge there, didn't you?
Really. I tend to do that.
That's how you learn though, isn't it? Like you say, when you put yourself out your comfort zone and...
But before that, I skipped out. I'd done some needle felting. I did a one-day course with Sarah Berry, who's local. And I was going to some workshops. I did a printing day as well, a lino print with Heather McDermott. And so the Sarah Berry one was funny because I turned up for this needle felting day. I hadn't really read the info or I didn't really know what I was going to. And she said, have you all brought landscape pictures to create your work from? And I kind of looked at them and went, I thought we were just going to make little felt shapes or something. And we were doing landscapes. Anyway, I got quite into that, really... Loved the colour of it, you know, bought lots of different felt colours, and I like not to have to create art. I like art to be created, if that makes sense. So like I don't like pencil work because you've got to put a lot of effort into creating something, whereas actually taking some felt and laying it out, some coloured roving and laying it out to create something, it kind of creates itself, it comes out of nowhere.
The sort of colours and everything together, you see something in it and you then manipulate it to
kind of get it's to the just next like thing. You're nudging it rather than having to put the effort into making it. So that was another discovery, I guess, from the course. But so I really liked doing the felting, but then I've done none of it because I've been busy doing my art course and then had to do all the pieces for that. It's funny how your art course takes you away from your art.
It's often in the way. I mean, it's a bit like me, you know, I'm doing this business now, which I absolutely love, but I don't do very much knitting, you know, and that's kind of where I was starting, really, was with my knitting, because you're focusing in on that particular thing. That's what takes your time and your energy.
And your knitting so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
She's wearing a beautiful scarf. Listeners, you can't see this, but I can. It's gorgeous.
Have you got any more creative classes lined up?
Well, I might go to one this afternoon.
Oh, yes, yes.
I might. So there's a community, a beautiful community centre that's just been built down in Slate, where Tanya lives. And there's a local artist, Emma Theodore-Collins, is doing some workshops for the next 4 weeks there.
Yeah, Emma, I interviewed Emma in my very first
episode.
Just a very short interview because she was off to Glasgow to one of the exhibitions there to have a stand. Yeah, so she's doing a different series of workshops, isn't she?
Yeah, so I think this week's Monoprint. I can't remember what they are. Anyway, they all look really interesting.
They do,
so
yeah.
If I can fit them in the diary, I think I'll go. I haven't booked though. I was kind of seeing how the week worked out. So I've just messaged her this morning and said, "Can I pop in? Does that work?" So hopefully I'm allowed to go.
I'm sure she'll squeeze you in.
So I decided to. I could have carried on doing the course this year, done another year, but I decided I just want to. Do some kind of one day things. I feel like I want to put my I want to refocus my learning. You know, I said actually I learned a lot about myself. I think that's where I want to focus my efforts this year. So rather on art to do that, I'm gonna I've actually just signed up to train to be an interfaith minister.
I know, I saw that.
So a bit of a spiritual development program.
And this is what I love about Jo, and she's probably going to be embarrassed me saying this, but I think myself, I've always been, you know, that phrase, the lifelong learner. Ever since I was a kid, I have always had a thirst for knowledge and to learn new things. And I always want to just keep learning. To me, there's always something out there. And I think you're very much like that. You're always looking, developing yourself, learning new things, going down different paths. That one thing leads you to another, doesn't it? You're not always quite sure where it might go, but yes.
And this feels very much like that. So the words minister and ministry and faith all seem quite bizarre that I would be going down that route. And I think the idea that I could be ordained in a couple of years' time as a minister is absolutely hilarious. However, for me, it's about that exploration. It's about my spiritual development and my growth.
Yes.
And it could lead into all sorts of different things. I've no idea what it might lead into.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just allowing and seeing what might unfold.
And that's what I love about you. You're happy to just go down there and, as you say, see what it does for you and what opens up for you. And that really brings us back to what we were talking about earlier about your coaching and personal development background. And you touched on at one point earlier when we were talking about being a meditation teacher and running some meditation courses. And you now have Sky Meditation and you also have Brave Souls. So tell us about those two businesses as well.
Yeah, so I've been teaching meditation since before we set off in the bus. Actually, that was part of it. Had a bit of a message, I don't know, to go out and teach 500 people. So traveling in the bus was a bit of a quest for that as well.
Right.
And I've not yet taught 500, but I think I'm in the 400s. So I've been teaching meditation since 2013. And I taught under the name Effortless Jo because the practice was an effortless practice. But since I've moved to Sky, it was funny actually, it kind of fell away. The website disappeared and it just felt like the next thing was coming. So I decided to teach under the brand of Brave Souls. And then I realised because I'm doing extra things around meditation on Sky, I wanted to have a presence on Sky too. So I set up Sky Meditation. So I run one-day courses here in Sky, and also I run a regular meditation group, which has been terribly irregular over the summer, but is about to get regular again.
Yeah.
So this Friday it starts again. So it's just a Friday evening get together, so a few of us, and we do a different meditation practice. And then I'm also talking to schools in the area about potentially doing some meditation stuff with them. And I'd love a retreat centre here. That's kind of a longer term vision, I suppose.
Oh, I'm sure that would be really popular.
I think it would be fab to have a beautiful space built by my husband maybe even a sustainable straw bale with views and accommodation too. And it would be great to do it in partnership with one of the yoga teachers.
Yes.
So I've talked to Eve, who runs Gokul Yoga here. So maybe sometime in the future, 10 years down the line, we'll have something.
Yeah.
So that would be fab. So that's the sky meditation. And then Brave Souls. I also teach meditation through that. So I sometimes run one day courses. So I've got one coming up in October in Yorkshire. But I also have an e-course. So I teach the meditation online. So I've got a series of videos. And I do the actual teaching one-to-one over Skype or phone. So that's the kind of the meditation. Anything else to say on that? No. And then the Brave Souls business is kind of a retreat business. So it's all about, I would say, spiritual development. Jen, my partner in it, would say personal development. Same thing.
And other people might come somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. But it's really about helping people to explore, to listen to their inner wisdom. And I guess for me, it's about what the world needs from me is for me to show up more as who I am authentically, speak my truth, to live bravely. And it's about helping other people to do that too.
Yes.
So they're the three principles of Brave Souls: to be authentic, speak your truth, and live brave. Yeah. So
I love that. Yeah.
So we have a mini retreat that we run, which is just one day, or we have also run that over a weekend too, to allow more space. But they're very spacious. So we bring people together, we start to explore the principles, and then we give them some tools like meditation and journaling, vision boarding, to help them go within and connect with what's really important to them, how they want to live authentically, perhaps where they're not speaking their truth, where they need to give permission to themselves for various things. So it's really exciting. Jen and I are loving delivering the workshops. So we've got another one of those in October too in Yorkshire.
Okay. You've also got your own podcast.
Yeah, that's true. So that's Brave Souls podcast. So we've explored the principles of Brave Souls. So we've got one on brave, one on authenticity, and one on speaking truth. We've shared our Brave Souls stories. So I've shared a bit of my story today. Jen's story is a very different story, but also has some similarities, things that haven't come up in our conversation today about, you know, leaving corporate world, going out on our own, choosing to do things differently. So we've shared our stories. This week I've put one out that was a little bit different, which is a meditation one.
Right.
So it's sharing a little bit about meditation and then doing a 10-minute breath practice. Because I was really noticing there's lots of stressed out teenagers at the moment.
Okay.
And lots of people telling me that their kids are struggling with things, and obviously they're returning to school. Well, not in Scotland, we went back weeks ago,
yes.
But in England this week, returning to school. So there's a lot of that going on. So I put that out to try and get that out to teenagers. So that one was a bit more of a, you know, here's something that might be useful rather than just a conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to start to interview some brave souls as well, some people who've chosen to do life differently.
Yes, yeah.
And Jen's going to do the same, but probably our brave souls might be more in line with our own stories,
yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So people who have chosen to step off the norm and do something different,
yes,
will be,
yeah,
my crowd.
So you're, yeah, sort of looking at people's stories and what they can share and what other people can learn from what they've learned along the way as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and we certainly in Brave Souls don't put ourselves up as the expert. We're kind of not going, hey, we've done it and we've got it sussed and we've got loads of things to share with you. We're in the mess of it, and we share that openly on our Facebook page. You know, when things are triggering us and there's lessons we need to learn, or,
yes,
we're learning, we're sharing a lot of that.
Yes.
So it's a kind of, it's an exploration together,
yeah,
and alongside.
Yeah. And go on.
I was just going to say, which is what the coaching is. I didn't mention coaching as well. So although I'm on the Isle of Skye, I still do some coaching. So I do that by Skype or phone again. And so the Brave Souls coaching is about helping people to explore those principles. So a lot of people have really lost touch with who they are. They play all their roles in society, you know, their mum or their sister or daughter, and they're this at work and they're this in this group, yes, friend, and but they don't actually know who they are, yes, in that, and they've, yeah, lost sight of what they love, you know, what motivates them, where they want to go in life. And so helping people to explore and reconnect with,
yeah, that sort of core of identity. Yeah.
Yeah. And looking at their, you know, it's whatever people bring to those conversations, but they also might go into their relationships and looking at how they're showing up in their relationships, and if they're not great, how they're contributing to that, how they might need to show up differently, say yes and no differently,
yes,
you know, set boundaries. And yeah, so yeah, I just love that. I love that work, and those conversations, and seeing people change,
yes,
have new awareness, and, yes, and go out in the world and have different behaviours, yes, I suppose.
Yeah, I think for me, when I was doing quite a bit of coaching, that was what fascinated me, was just raising that self-awareness. And when people did realise, when the penny kind of dropped, and as you say, they kind of wanted to go and change and do things differently, because they could see that they were going to get a different outcome.
Yeah.
They were going to get an outcome that suited them better in whatever scenario it was that they were in.
Yeah.
And when people really want to do that, that's just great match, isn't it, working,
yeah,
with people who really,
it's
want
lovely,
to do that.
It's lovely, isn't it, to see them. And just in terms of the bravery, I just wanted to say something, because people often think bravery is like, rah, you know, that real kind of masculine energy. The brave in Brave Souls, we talk about being more around being okay with vulnerability.
Mm.
So I read in a book the other week this concept of vulnerabravery.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about in Brave Souls. It's about, you know, sharing your emotions, being prepared to say no even when the easy thing is to say yes, and really feeling the emotions, and yeah, David White talks about it, like being on the edge of that conversation we have with life, and being prepared to kind of show up and live with the pain of it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's almost saying it's okay to feel that way, isn't it? And it's okay to say no, and don't beat yourself up about it,
yeah,
because you feel that way, or you,
it's like the opposite of feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yes.
It's, yeah, feel the fear and feel the fear.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because it's okay to.
Yeah.
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 But it's then how you manage those, yeah, emotions, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, certainly I can vouch for what you've said, that you and Jenna, you know, you're sharing along the way. You're still finding yourselves through all of this too. And I think I put a comment once on your Facebook page saying, you know, I love your openness and your honesty, because a lot of people find that really hard to do,
yeah,
whether it's just one-to-one with a friend, you know, online is another whole scenario. And so being prepared to kind of say, you know, it's okay, and we're doing this, you know, come along with us, because we're doing it as well. We're not,
yeah,
just wanting you to step out of your comfort zone. So
and I think Facebook does give us that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It gives us that shiny, everything's great kind,
yes,
of perception of people's lives. And,
yes,
then everyone's getting into that, oh, my life's not as good as everybody else's. And I love those vulnerable posts that tell you that, you know, things aren't all rosy, and you get the truth.
Yes.
So, yeah, and Brave Souls is making Jen and I step up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're all about authenticity, speak your truth and live brave, when we're not doing that, the business is, and our relationship is showing that up in our lives.
Got you.
So,
yeah,
when we're being triggered by each other and there's a conversation that needs to be had, we need to have that conversation.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're not honouring Brave Souls.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's making us step up.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's like making us live more the life of Brave Souls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. I love it. Joe, amazing to chat to you. It's taken a while to sit down and do this, but it's brilliant and I love it. And yeah, everything from your whole library bus journey and all your creative stuff that you've done and still do, and what you're doing with your coaching as well and your meditation, and where that's going to take you, I don't know. I'm sure you don't know. I'm just looking forward to following the story, because I know that whatever it is you're going to do, you just put your heart and soul into it, and you will get the best out of it for you, won't you? For you and your family. You will always kind of find what works for you, and I really admire that.
Thanks, Tanya. Sorry we weren't in the bus today.
I know. Excited about the bus. I mean, I was excited to see Joe as well, but the bus, I thought today was the bus.
I'll have to do your tour. We'll have to do, can you do a video podcast? We'll do a little tour. I'll have to tidy up though.
So maybe I'll have a look at when this is going to go out, and we can get the bus tour done before then. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Joe?
Oh, just thank you. It's been lovely to have this conversation chance to chat.
Yes.
We don't do it often enough.
We don't. And further down your course, we might need to come back and review where you're at and what you're finding out.
Who knows where that's going to take me.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I've so enjoyed chatting to you.
Thanks, Tanya.
Me too.
Bye.
I've so enjoyed listening to Jo talking about the creative process, and particularly about how it's a learning process too, finding out what you do and you don't like. And I think I've mentioned quite a while back about me with needle felting. It just is not my thing. But I kind of felt, I'm creative, I should like this. But actually, I shouldn't have to. And if I really don't like it, I don't like it. I did a couple of workshops. It's no reflection at all on the people who ran the workshops. Needle felting is just not my thing. And I had to learn that through going on this journey, this creative process journey. So I love how Jo talks about that it's okay to try things out. It's okay to see how things unfold and see where it takes you. Too often we can be looking for that perfect result straight away, and we can get frustrated if we're not as good as someone else. And I sometimes see that in workshops, particularly when I'm running workshops. People will see the person sat next to them going at a faster rate than them. They're onto the next stage, or perhaps their button to them doesn't look as good as the person's next to them. It's very easy for us to compare ourselves to other people, but it's about our journey. It's about us and what we find out and learn about ourselves. And if we try something and we don't like it, just because we're creative doesn't mean that we have to like it or be good at everything. What we didn't talk about is that at the end of the art course, all the people that Jo was on course with, they had an exhibition. So there is a picture of some of her pieces in the show notes. And if you're on Pinterest, Jo has an account which is called Moby Renovations, because the bus, the library bus, is called Moby. And here you can actually see the whole process of the renovation with pictures right up to some of the finished pieces that we've talked about, such as the Lego and the shower wall. So have a look. It's very, very interesting. I personally find the whole journey that they've done on this converted bus both riveting and refreshing. How many people only ever dream of doing something like this? Yet Jo and her husband, James, went and did it with two small children as well, and so many unknowns. And they've ended up in a different place to perhaps where they thought they would be. And it's a fantastic story, and some would say a very bold move. I know when we told people that we were moving to Skye, some people thought we were totally mad. And there were others who said, do you know what? I'm actually envious of you. I didn't ask Jo, but I'm sure there's probably people who said the same to her. Sometimes these risks are worth taking, and if they don't work out, at least you've tried. Now, we heard Jo talk about her meditation and coaching businesses and the Brave Soul business with Jen, where they help people to explore and listen to their inner wisdom and give them the tools to connect with what's important to them. And Jo spoke about the three principles of being authentic, speaking your truth, and living brave. And Jo spoke about the fact that it's okay to feel vulnerable, to share our emotions, to say no, even when sometimes it would be easier to say yes. And she touched on the whole social media issue of how sometimes everybody else's life looks rosy and bright and perfect. There's all these polished photographs on Instagram. And I know that even in my creative feed, I can get overwhelmed sometimes by what I see. And I wonder just how people manage to keep posting such creative and great pictures all the time. From time to time, though, I do see people in my Instagram feed, and they're actually brave enough to say, look, here is me today. I'm not in a good place for whatever reason, and things are tough, and everything's not great. It's not all rosy. It's not all shiny. I think that's a really important point that Jo has brought out, that let's be authentic. Let's speak our truth. Let's live bravely around these areas, especially social media, where sometimes there can just be this pressure, even if it's an unintentional pressure, to sort of conform to the norms of what we're seeing. Jo talked about how her and Jen have found that having their Brave Soul business has made each of them step up and have those conversations, that when they're not living up to their principles, it shows in their businesses and it shows in their relationship too. Jo and I recorded this interview at the beginning of September, and I'm now recording my part in the middle of October, so sort of 6-7 weeks later. 3 days before I recorded this, Jo and Jen spent the weekend together working on their business and what next. And the outcome from that is they've decided to stop working together. And I'm going to read you an extract from their Facebook page. We have realised that in order for us to both feel authentic with our individual purpose, we need to break out from Brave Souls. Whilst we both love what we've created, we've decided its life has come to an end. They go on to say that Jen's about to have a book published and she feels drawn to focus more on supporting people who've lived through trauma, while Jo is looking to see what unfolds with her continued spiritual exploration. And this month on their Facebook pages, they have been focusing on gratitude. And so they say, in this month of gratitude, we want to thank Brave Souls for all it's bought and let it go to make way for the new. Well, being authentic, speaking your truth and living brave. Now, you will have heard Jo's love in her voice for what they do in that interview. And it is sad that this has happened. On a positive note, though, I think we have to hugely admire what they have done, A, to date for the community that they've jointly built up, and secondly, that they have lived up to those three principles that they set for Brave Souls. They've been true to themselves. They've been honest with each other, that although they set out on this path, they now have their own individual purpose to go on and carry on with. And they need to be on separate paths to actually fulfill that. It would have been easy for me to have deleted the section from the interview where Jo talks about Brave Souls. We felt it was important to keep it in. It's real. It's happened. It's authentic. It's life. And things move on. And Jo continues with all her practices. Nothing has changed there at all. So Jo is still doing her meditation. She's still doing her coaching practice. She's still doing everything that she talked about in the interview, just not collectively with Jen through that particular forum. Back in September then, just after we did the interview, Jo made a very generous offer to you, my listeners. So if meditation is something you would like to have a go at to either access your creativity or to work on other areas, then Jo has very kindly offered a 25% discount off her e-meditation course. The e-course is usually £125, so it would be £100. The e-course is made up of videos and a 90-minute call with Jo. And if you want to find out more about it before committing, there are 4 free introductory videos which are accessed via the website, and I will put a link to that in my show notes. There's no need to put your email address or anything in to access those videos. They are on YouTube, and here you can see Jo talk a bit more about meditation. They are audio. The first one, she tells you about her journey into meditation, the training she's done and the benefits it's brought her. The second one explains what effortless meditation is, the practice that Jo talked about, and she does that with the aid of a diagram. And the third one talks about how through regular practice, There are physical, mental, emotional and spiritual benefits. And finally, the fourth video explains how her meditation differs. The offer is only open until the 31st of October 2018. All you have to do is sign up for the course on the website We Are Brave Souls and add into the coupon code at the cart TJFrog25, all together and all in capitals. And as I say, I will put a link in my show notes to the website. I have to say, I haven't done this course, although I have done a full day face-to-face meditation course with Jo. I was really surprised by it. I've heard good things about meditation from other people. I used to work with somebody who used to do it every morning before they came to work with practice, and that's actually the key thing. And I can vouch for this. It needs regular practice for you to feel the benefits. Again, hands up, being honest, I've fallen out of doing that practice. It's a bit like physical exercise. You know, when I build these things into the start of my day, A, they get done, and B, I feel so much better. I feel more active. I feel more alert. I feel more able to get things done. If I find that I put them off and I think, oh, I'll do that at 4 o'clock. Oh, I'll do that at 6 o'clock, you know, and suddenly it's 9, 10 o'clock. And it's dark and I'm not going to go outside for my walk, or, yeah, am I going to sit down and do my meditation? No. If nothing else, for me, interviewing Jo has kickstarted me back into thinking about planning my mornings so that I get my physical exercise in and that I do the meditation practice. And I'm also looking forward to popping along to her Friday night sessions now that winter is settling in. I just want to say a massive thank you really to Jo. It was a wonderful interview, giving us a peek into that journey, one which has so many paths going off in different directions. And we certainly explored quite a lot in that interview. And I know that when I spend time chatting to Jo, it's always thought-provoking and I always come away with my head full of exploring new ideas and challenges. And thank you also to Jo for her generous discount offer. On another note, the bus. I am happy to report I have been on the bus since the interview. As I think we mentioned, I was quite disappointed when I went to meet up with Jo. I thought we were going on the bus, but we weren't. Jo and her family, since we recorded, have now got a permanent house on Skye to move into. So their time on the bus is at an end. A sad time, but a happy one too. With this imminent change, Jo invited me over for a cuppa, and it was a gorgeous day when I went. The sun was shining through, and it was a privilege to see this space that she's described to me so much in the time that I've known her, and to see where her and James and Annie and Oscar have travelled and grown together as a family. I totally failed in getting any photos of it, other than the final view that Jo and her family have or are enjoying in these last few days from the bus where it's parked. It's one of those places where you stand in one spot and you have an amazing view and you just turn your body through 180 degrees and there's another great view. Jo has also given me a picture of the exterior of the bus. It was pre the pod going on. That's in my show notes as well. And as I mentioned, on Pinterest, you can see the inside and the whole renovation process. And keep listening in. Who knows? One day, Jo's dream to have a retreat on Skye with meditation and yoga may happen. I certainly hope that it does. That's it. Another episode finished. I love doing these. I just seem to be getting out of sync at the moment with getting them done with everything else going on. The next one is already in the making, though, where I will chat about the Gansey course, the North Atlantic Native Sheep Conference and Shetland Wool Week. So till then, you can find the show notes on the website at tjfrog.co.uk. And if you'd like to get in touch by either dropping me a line at tanya@tjfrog.co.uk, or you can contact me via the contact page on the website, or on Facebook and Instagram as tjfrogsky, Twitter as tjfrogmakes, and Ravelry as tjfrog. The music is by Ron Paintant and is licensed from Melody Loops and called One Frog for a Prince. Bye for now. Till next time. Thank you.